Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode
3
of Untamed Terrain, traversing life's chaos. And Lori and I have had a lot of life to traverse, and our hope is to share all of that with you. So in general, today's episode, we're going to be talking about family values, how your value system, how your belief system was started, and where it is now, where ours are now, and what our relationship and all of life's events leading up to that has molded it, molded who we are, molded how we see the world and how we want to treat the world.
Absolutely. Family values are interesting because it's kind of like an unwritten skeleton to every family.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You've got businesses that have their vision statements, their mission statements, you know, their core values. Those are usually written. They're usually posted. And with families, mm-hmm. very rarely does that happen. I mean, occasionally you'll see the live, laugh, love, or grateful, thankful, blessed up on the wall. The question is how often does that translate to family values? It's like the unwritten script behind a family.
Yeah, definitely. And that all starts from when we're children. You know, we grow up in this scenario and we're molded into who we are based on our family's values. They using that term directly in a sentence is that what do they believe in? What do they live their life by? What are you going to live your life by when you're 10 years old, when you're a teenager, when you're a young adult and into your middle of life and beyond? I'll kind of give a little history on my background. We talked a little bit about that on episode 1, but growing up in a Mexican-American family, you know, we had a close-knit family. We were very tight with each other. If somebody was in trouble or needed something, it was all hands on deck. It was people were there for you. So-and-so would come over to bring you food. Somebody would go pick you up, whatever it might be. So that close-knit family and that tightness kind of led into our family always being together on the weekends. We spent weekends mostly because my grandfather was in town on the weekends. We spent the whole weekend at their house, and it was a time for our family to get together and be together as a unit. And that's carried over into my adult life a little bit. I still miss those weekends. I still want the family to be together, but it's a different scenario to where you and I are now. And so why don't you give a little bit of a background on how you came to be?
Well, I don't want to go into that detail.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. So I was raised, as I'd mentioned in a previous episode, I'm the youngest of 4 children. I was born in Utah and raised for the majority of my life in Utah. And you know, our family values, I had alluded to my dad having PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he actually enlisted in the Marine Corps when he was just barely 18, if not 17. And he wanted to go to Vietnam. And he was a kid. He was a baby. He had, I mean, politics aside, he had no right to be there. He saw some horrible things. And he came home. You know, he was only 19 when he got home. His wife, my mom, had my older sister, and he was lost, and he was dealing with, you know, his history of PTSD and what he dealt with in the war. And for the next 25 years of his life, he didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he came across a training from a company that I'm not going to name because I'm not going to plug another company. But basically the precept behind the company was to delve into your past, deal with the demons that you had, face them, and then take ownership of your life. And it turned his life around, and he threw himself wholeheartedly into this company. He started his own company. Hopefully a lot of our listeners out there know my dad personally and know what kind of good work he did.
Mm-hmm.
But the values, he started doing this when I was a baby. And so he raised me with these concepts. And if you're familiar with people like Tony Robbins, you'll know that, you know, the concepts of accountability, of if it's to be, it's up to me, mm-hmm. of, you know, just self-actualization. These were concepts that I was raised with. So the family values that we always had, and growing up LDS or Mormon, as some people call it, I also had some faith as a family value. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had our belief in God. We had our belief that we needed to be accountable. One of the family values that we had that I continue to retain this day is that if you're a victim, you are the weakest possible person in a situation. So to take ownership for what you have control over.
Right.
And honesty. Honesty has always been a big thing, particularly for me. I view my integrity as being the most important value in my life. And it's something that I honor in other people as well when mm-hmm. they can be honest. It's not always easy because sometimes, you know, my honesty can be raw. Sometimes I hurt feelings. I don't ever intend to because I don't like to cause drama. But right. honesty is a huge value. So those are some of the family values that I was raised with.
Yeah, it's interesting because having that close-knit family that we had, a lot of it was based on the Catholic Church. They, you know, the church on Sundays. I somehow found my way out of it quite a bit. I, at a young age, having that faith in religion was something that I had through my family, but still had a belief that there was a faith in me, but I didn't know exactly what it was. So that was part of our family's upbringing. And also it was work hard, play hard, you know, that in work for what you have, work hard for what you have, but also enjoy life. So, and that was good and bad in a lot of ways for me growing up, because yes, I worked hard. I worked hard at athletics. I worked hard at jobs that I've had, but I also played hard, which meant I did some things I wasn't too proud of. And that's, you know, having that example early in life with being the first grandchild on each side of the family, I was grouped into the adults a little more than I should have been.
And your parents were both really young. Yeah,
my parents were very young when I was born. So I took on some of their values, which probably for a 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old wasn't a good thing to do or a good thing to have. So navigating that through life and adjusting my values as we started to move outside of the family, as I started, you know, I left Yuma when I was 10 years old, moved here with my dad, and then my dad was, again, a single parent for a few more years, just the two of us in the house. You know, he was still a child, raising a child. And when I look back at me being a 27-year-old, I was no responsibilities whatsoever other than to get up and go to work and pay my bills.
So your dad was 27 when you moved in with him full time.
Yeah, and I was 10 years old at the time. So mm-hmm. still developing these values. So a lot of my values came from my friends' families, watching how they interacted with each other, what type of life did they create for their kids, you know? So I started to gravitate a lot to my best friend's house, and I was there quite a bit because their family unit was, I craved that gathering that we mm-hmm. used to have. I craved that time with family. But also, again, work hard, play hard started to take its toll on the decisions I was making. So you talk about honesty, you know, I just like call in for sick at work the next day after hanging out with my friends all day long, and, you know, hungover,
and, yeah.
you know, it's just like, really, you've lied about not feeling well because you were out drinking all day at the lake and decided you didn't want to get up for work the next day.
So there came this kind of moral relativism when it came to,
yeah,
it's okay to shift values on this, but not on that.
Right. You start to, you know, the white lies that people talk about, the little things that you don't think are going to shift or make such a big difference start to add up, and it starts to kind of develop your personality. And in my 20s, that became something that, until I look back on it, really probably guided me through two divorces.
Yeah.
So being able to look at that and develop these different values as we mature and learn from our mistakes, which I think the two of us have done quite a bit, it's given me more of a sense of who I am, who I want to be, and changing some of the life and lifestyle decisions based on those values as we move forward.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, and I, as life hits us, you know, and our histories are vastly different. I was married before I was an adult, technically, you know, and you didn't get married, you know, until a little bit later in life. Yeah. I was a parent at 20. You became a parent at 33 for the first time. So you had a lot more of life outside of children that influenced your values and the development of your values as they are today. And I kind of want to lead into us discussing, you know, how we reconcile not only your values and my values, combining those, because a lot of our listeners will be realizing that there's a reconciliation when you're joining two different individuals, how you reconcile those values matching up, right? And compatibility with those values. But I also want to talk about us transferring our values onto our kids and making them, them stick. And I use that as a preface. I'm going to tell a little story about my daughter. And I'm also going to, you know, kind of segue into my own experience. I was bullied mercilessly in junior high. From 6th to 8th grade, every single day, I would come home in tears, wanted my parents to take me out of school. It was awful. It was awful. I ended up with a huge chip on my shoulder and ended up becoming, you know, I don't think I was a bully, but I became quite physically aggressive because I realized I had to take care of myself. Because at one point, this group of boys, and yes, it was a group of boys picking on me, actually cornered me and beat me up. And so, you know, I see my daughter, she's 13, she's in 8th grade. She is dealing with the same thing, you know, and we'll talk in a future episode about social media and its impact on our children. But one of the things that I see her navigating is choosing good friends, choosing the kind of friends that support her values. And so there's this story. When I was 16, I was on the softball team, and we had traveled to a foreign city. I say a foreign city. It was a city in our state, but it wasn't where we grew up. And we had a tournament there. And a couple of my friends who weren't really good friends of mine had come down to visit me, or to visit the city and to watch this tournament. And they were raised with vastly different values than I was. We never had alcohol in my house.
Right.
And, you know, I won't say my parents were super orthodox Mormons, but we did not have alcohol in my house. Like, it wasn't something we did. And these girls had alcohol in their house. They had access to it, and they brought alcohol with them. And one of the girls decided to pick me up at my hotel. I got clearance from my coach to go out with them. We went out on a drive down the street, and as we're driving, I'm noticing she's driving erratically.
Right.
And she'd been drinking. And she actually pulled into the exit of a Taco Bell, and there was a cop following us. Well, I wasn't drinking at the time. Not only was I not drinking because I was, you know, that wasn't my value system, but I wasn't drinking because I was there on a sports thing with the school, and I wasn't going to get kicked off the team. I had big aspirations. But I was in a panic because I knew she was drunk and she had just been pulled over. And it was at that moment that I realized that I would rather have no friends than have a friend who didn't A, support my values, or B, care what happened to me in the long run. And that's kind of one of those values that I established later on in life, not a value my parents gave me, but a value I learned by experience that I'm passing on to my children.
Right.
So, I want us to kind of dialogue about how we pass our values onto our children and how we reconcile what we esteem in high value as opposed to what they do.
Well, right now at this point of life, and up until about five years ago, it just felt like I was at a stalemate with making any adjustments or doing anything different and helping my children become better versions of themselves through my examples. that really started to hit home when the kids started associating me doing anything fun with drinking. And so I had to really take a look back and say, okay, well, yeah, of course it does, because when I was 9 years old, my uncles were like, here, have a drink, you know, have a beer. When I was 10 years old, here, have a drink, have a beer. And that became normal. That became, I talked about those weekends with the family. Well, yeah, it was an all-day barbecue, but of course it was all-day drinking as well. So I kind of had to shift those with them and start to give them more of an example of what decisions are you going to make that will affect your life better, and how can you live it with a certain set of values that still involves having a close-knit family, but doesn't always mean that it's a one giant party. Because to me, that's what family was when I was a kid, to now having my own children. It's like, well, okay, I really don't want that for them, because it puts them in a situation where it's going to affect their choices moving forward and what they base their choices on moving forward. And so having to, say, instill values in them, I've had to make an adjustment and really look back on how I made my own decisions at that age.
So it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
It's not just because you influencing their values. It's their expectations influencing yours.
My values, yeah. Because I at their age, man, I was reckless in a sense with my decision-making. And really, my values were last on the list of things that I needed to consider. I was more of a selfish, I'm going to do what I want in certain situations, and not really consider how it affected other people. So trying to get them and trying to get our children to have a baseline for them that's a lot higher at that point than where mine was, at least. I know you gave an example just now of that's the baseline that you set for yourself, which is a very good one. For me, I was like, I didn't know that it was always wrong to hang out and enjoy family in that sense. And it's not wrong, but having the values and having the ability to make the right choice at that age is not something that I was explained to when I was a kid, or talked about to when I was a kid. So going back to not having those difficult conversations like we talked about in our last episode, I'm starting to have that reality with them now, where I can have that difficult conversation, not be such a, say, tyrant with them as a parent, but as a, like, hey, I know, I've been there, I've made these decisions, trust me. And, you know, take it for what it's worth, but kids, we're going to listen to what they want, and hopefully they are starting to pick up bits and pieces of those values starting to transfer from where they were, or change from where they were for me.
Absolutely. Well, and I've seen, you know, the dynamic of things, mm-hmm. when our kids feel heard, mm-hmm. when they feel like their opinions and their perspectives on something matter, it's so important. You know, it's important, because then they get an ownership in our family. Mm-hmm. They take a stake in it. It's not, you know, us being the CEOs and ordering around all of our drones. You know, they get to take an active role in developing our family. And then they have more, you know, as they say, they have more skin in the game. They have a higher commitment to what we are building as a family. And there have been lots of instances where we've had these conversations with our kids about, you know, how do you feel about the choice that you've made?
What difficulties have you found in trying to steer their values in a certain way as an adult, as a parent, through your time parenting with your kids, which have obviously been different, and I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. But what difficulties have you found in transferring or giving an example of your values to the children?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, as Kate, our girl, pointed out the other day, I have a story for everything.
Right.
I'm coming up a little blank with this one. But what I will say is, you know, our kids are all different. I mean, you can't get, you know, 7, 9 kids with more different personalities. Yeah. I think when it comes down to it, you know, I think your second to youngest son and my daughter, Kate, are very mm-hmm. similar. Yep. My sons, Jake and Russ, are really similar. But you've got different personalities. And, you know, so you can't I can't always tell them what their own value systems are going to be. And they have to know that we love them even if our values differ. But I think it's important that, you know, I've got a story for what I believe is right. Now, I was never raised with money being a big thing. My parents did not financially teach me anything. I didn't even know about money until I was a senior in high school and needed to take accounting in order to get out of high school, which is not what I do as a profession, honestly. my son, my oldest son, was very entrepreneurial as a kid. And he would get his allowance from me, and he would go to the store, and he would buy a 12-pack of soda pop. And he bought a soda pop that all of the other kids liked. And then he would turn around, and he would sell these soda pops to his siblings for $1 a pop. So he would end up, you know, spending $5-6 on a 12-pack, and he'd end up netting $12 out of it. Yeah. And not only was I irritated because I was like, dude, like, I can buy them soda as well, but I was upset that he was capitalizing on his younger siblings.
Yeah.
And I said that to him. And, you know, it's funny as a parent, you can throw all you want at your kids, like talk until you're blue in the face. Most of the time it feels like they don't listen.
Right.
Well, last summer I was visiting with him and he said, Mom, the biggest reason I decided to go into politics, he's getting his master's degree right now from the University of Utah. He said, the biggest reason I went into politics instead of sales is that you talked to me about defrauding other people in order to make money. And I decided I never wanted to do that. So it's amazing what we teach to our children or what we say to them in passing that really takes hold. And, you know, I don't believe that all salesmen are corrupt. It was my observation of seeing the dynamic in my family, and I didn't like to see, you know, somebody being taken advantage of by somebody who had power or resources.
And he's a strong-willed child, but he's definitely smart enough to know that mom said something however many years ago, and it's taken that to heart, which is, that's all we hope, is that we can give them some little bites here and there and live by example and stay true to where we are now with our values. Obviously your life changes, our life changes as we grow older, but as a unit and blending families, we've got a bigger obstacle and a bigger hurdle to keep those consistent between all of them. We still focus on where our kids are at that point in life, but now, from this point on, we start to focus on our family as a group. And so that's, I mean, we've had some ups and downs as far as having our families blended. But for the most part, I think we've given them great examples and hopefully steered them in the right direction, or starting to steer them in the right direction.
Absolutely.
To continue to grow and create their own values and decide what's important to them in life.
So, let me ask you, what do you think are the top three values that we need to instill in our family, our blended family?
I think honesty is first and foremost, only because, and coming from me, that's something that I avoided, whether it was avoiding it to hurt someone, avoiding it to not get in trouble. But honesty, just look, I messed up, and I've preached that in, you know, jobs I've had recently, to like, just tell me what you did wrong. You know, we'll fix it. I'm not going to come down on you, but we'll get through it together. So honesty, I think consideration for your family, first and foremost, when you make decisions, when you say things, I think it starts with your immediate family members, because if you can't do that at home, you're not going to do it out in the world.
Are you talking about concern for other people in your family, or are you talking about family pride?
I think concern for other people, having consideration for other people's situations, other people's emotions, having some empathy in life, and knowing that just because you're in this position doesn't mean you can't come over here and give help or do something for this person, or you can't step up higher to do it for someone else as well. And for me, an important one for me to continue to drill into or give for the kids is a work ethic. That's something that I won't let go of ever. I watched both of my grandfathers work themselves to the bone. My dad, fortunately, is able to retire because he was given those examples and had that instilled into him. But I think those are my top three, without a doubt, in something that we can pass on to our children. And it's as simple as pick up after yourselves or take some pride in washing the dishes, or, you know, that's work ethic isn't going out and finding a job and being the best at it and becoming noodler of the month. It's starting at home. You know, it's like the little things. Take pride in your room. Take pride in your chore of sweeping the floor. Like, do it better than anyone else if you can. Mm-hmm. You know, give your best effort. And so that's something that I want all of our kids to be able to live up to. So, yeah.
Great.
All right. I'll let you take us out.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's family dynamics and family values is difficult because there are reconciliations that need to happen. And I think, you know, the very basis of finding family values that work is understanding why. I think you and I agree on a lot of the basic family values. Honesty, obviously, number one. If I don't know about a problem, I can't fix it. I'd rather know the devil I'm dealing with. And, you know, another one I want to put in there is accountability. And it goes along, you know, kind of with what you said with work ethic. Take responsibility for what your role is in things. If you did something, be accountable for it. And it goes hand in hand with honesty. But I think it's important to know why, what the basis is behind that. Because regardless of what the peripheral values are, a very core set of values is going to be part of the way that your family is going to end up being successful. Yeah. And by all means, make every member of your family part of this discussion.
Yeah.
Let everybody weigh in. Have the discussion so that everybody knows why you believe in what you believe in, and they incorporate that into their own being. It's the only way to really make it work and have that solid base.
Yep.
Thanks so much for joining us on episode 3. We are super excited for future episodes. Don't forget to, you know, chime in on the story, comment below. Subscribe if you like what we're doing. If you have topics that you want to know about or that you want us to cover, send us an email. Our email address is below. And reach out to us. Follow us on Instagram and be part of our journey, because really this is about us weathering this uncharted territory together, because by all means, there is no script that we can all follow perfectly, because there is no script for life. Thanks for watching.
Thank you, guys.